is the Gumbad-e-Khazra, the blessed dome of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If that person doesn't know where Medina Sharif is, how the green dome looks, in the way, let's say, he travels through Egypt or Syria and he is shown a big green dome somewhere built upon a mosque or built upon a shrine or a tomb of a prophet or actually another wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he can just actually believe that and think that I've reached Medina Sharif. Or a person who have set up for to see and to do Umrah or to visit the blessed sacred house of Allah, but he doesn't know his destination truly, where it is, how it looks, and where it is actually situated. So he is going through, traveling through Egypt, and someone says and points at a pyramid. Someone points at a pyramid that this is Kaabatullah, this is Baytullah. So that person will just start worshipping here. He even would not even know that inside it is the enemy of Allah who is buried here, and they are buried. It's not the house of Allah. So in order to achieve the closeness and pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one needs to know one's destination, what it is. And we mentioned yesterday as well, and many times before, that the ultimate destination, ultimate aim of one should be the, and is, and should be the pleasure and the rida of Allah. If Allah is pleased, alhamdulillah, this is the ultimate aim. Other things, they cannot become objective. But I am going to mention the things which people fall for, which are not their objectives at all, and they shouldn't be. And sometimes they make their objective, then they become upset, then they leave the path to Allah, they become distressed, they become dispersed-minded, and they just actually leave the to achieve their mission of achieving the closeness of Allah and pleasure of Allah and to achieve salvation in the hereafter. So one thing which it falls, which we understood through the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Sahaba and Mashayikh, that they said that visions and dreams are not actually objectives in this path. Many people come to the spiritual tariqs, the spiritual orders, that they want to see a good dream, they want to see a vision of the hereafter, they want to see a vision of angels. These are good things, these are mahmood. These things, see a good dream or a kashf, is a thing which is good, praiseworthy, mahmood, but it is not maqsood. Maqsood means the one which is your aim. So these are the scenes of the way. Like you travel to Medina Sharif, during the traveling and to Makkatul Mukarrama, you will see many gardens. You will pass countries, England, Holland, Switzerland, and then there will be other lands which coming in the way. There will be very beautiful scenes there. Very beautiful scenes. They are good to see. MashaAllah, you should praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what is wrong is that you come off your plane or jump off the plane or actually come off the bus and say, this is very good, I can see a very good pond, a fountain, there is a very good garden and greenery is very much, and you become so much delved into it, yeah, you decide to live there as well. So if you do that, you've fallen for the wrong thing, you never reaching, will never reach Madinatul Munawwara. So it was good, but because you made it your purpose, now it's wrong. It is not Medina Sharif, it is not Kaaba. While you go into the Kaaba Sharif, towards the Kaaba, you'll find mountains around it. If you travel from Makkah to Medina, you will find mountains upon mountains, and the Kaaba is surrounded by mountains, the Medina Sharif is surrounded by mountain. While you see in England, in many other countries, in Pakistan, in India, in Kashmir, there were very beautiful sceneries, natural scenery, the fruit trees, the hills, the rivers flowing. But around Makkatul Mukarrama, there's no river. Around Madinatul Munawwara, there's no rivers flowing. And some of the European countries, some of the other countries, they have rivers flowing. There's a rain almost every week in many countries. And there, months and months, sometimes it doesn't rain. And if you look at the mountains, they look very, very sad. And there. And it is the true reason why they are sad. The mountains, when you come from Makkah to Medina, or Medina to Makkah, and the mountain of Uhud, they look like they've lost something. They are sad. They don't look like they are living mountains. Although the mountain of Uhud, Rasulullah said, Al-Uhud min al-Jannah. Uhud is actually a mountain of Jannah. Why these mountains are sad is because they, most of them, they've seen Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we don't understand this, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the prophet of the mountains as well, of the stones as well. And we missed this point, that these very mountains have seen Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and after they've not been seen, able to see Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they are sad. They are grieved. They have a great sorrow, like Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and other human beings, Sahaba, who were the at that time living. They felt very sad when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he became veiled from us from in this dunya, and the time of separation and the time came to travel towards the barzakh and toward to the next world, to the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These companions were very upset. Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala would not like to live in Medina. He went for da'wah and tabligh because he knew Rasulullah likes this. He went across actually the countries and even died somewhere in Syria. Similarly, other Sahaba as well, like Hazrat Khalid bin Walid, Hazrat Abu Ayyub Ansari, radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. So the mountains of Makkah, the mountains of Medina, and some of the mountains in the way to Makkah and Medina, where Tariqul Hijra, where the path to migration is, that these mountains still know that they have seen the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And these mountains still feel the separation of Rasulullah. So that is why even though you go today, you by just looking at them, by appearance, you will feel that they are not happy mountains. They are actually, it's like they've lost something. There is no life in them. And for closeness of Rasulullah, few weeks Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and months spent during the Madanian period near the dry trunk of the date palm tree. When Rasulullah sallam used to address in Medina Sharif in Masjid Nabawi, he alayhi salatu wasalam used to stand near a trunk of a palm tree. And when the minbar was made for Prophet ﷺ, and he first day khutbah he gave on minbar, although the trunk of date palm was near, the trunk was near Rasulullah, so it was not very far away, it was just actually few meters away. But the Sahaba heard someone weeping and crying and screaming, they said like a baby, a camel, will cry actually for its mother, or a baby will cry for its mother. And they were surprised that we all are silent, we never speak in the presence of Rasulullah. Who is this weeping and crying so loudly? And then they said, we found out, we looked around, that voice was coming from that dry trunk of the tree. And Rasulullah ﷺ went closer to it, and he ﷺ touched it, and they said it became silent gradually, while actually like a child or a crying person is actually silenced when someone actually gives them encouragement or comfort. And slowly, slowly the screams were turning into just deep sighs. And that's how the trunk actually, this voice went away. And then Prophet ﷺ said that this trunk is, he loves me and feels separation, that today I have gone on the minbar to give khutbah. So Prophet ﷺ said, because he is the prophet of these things as well, he ﷺ said that if you want, I can do dua to Allah. You are dry trunk, you don't have branches. You will become alive again. You will become alive again. You will have fruit again. You will have dates upon you, leaves, and you won't dry until day of judgment. You won't dry. You will stay. You will stay a live tree. And during my stay in this world, every day you will be able to see me. Rasulullah said, either you accept that you become again a living tree, or you want to be with me in Jannah, in Akhirah, that's up to you. You are a tree, I gave you this option. And Prophet ﷺ said that the tree took the option that I want to be in successful or be with you in Jannah rather than this dunya. I will stay dry. I will tolerate the separation between me and you, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The tree said, trunk said, that I will tolerate the separation between me and you for a long time until day of judgment. But I want to be with you in Jannah. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to the Sahaba that take it out and bury this tree. So this trunk of the tree was buried. And then at the day of judgment, this will also be resurrected, and it will go in Jannah with Rasulullah ﷺ, and it will be one of the trees of Jannah. So the Mashaykh and the Awliya and Salihin and Arifin, they said, it is a strange matter. The tree is more wise than many human beings. The dry trunk is wise than more human beings. How? That it preferred akhirat over dunya. The dry trunk preferred akhirah, the life hereafter, over dunya. It said, although I can be given a long life here for hundreds and hundreds of years, but I will prefer to be in akhirah with you, Ya Rasulullah. I will tolerate this separation, but there I know I will be permanently. And we human beings hardly have life of 100 years. And we are preferring dunya over akhirah. So we have even fallen from the, actually you may say, wisdom which the trees and which other some animals they have. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that these people who have made their desires their ultimate aim and motive, ulaika kal an'am. These people are like cattle and animals. Balhum adal, but rather animals are guided. Animals, they praise Allah, they glorify Allah, they worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but in their own way. But these people are even worse than animals, because they are not performing their own duty. So you see, the dry trunk, not the living tree, according to our, for example, seeing, when something has dried, it still recognizes Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So what to say about those mountains who used to say salam, who've seen Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? So it is just like you give an example of a person who had a long life. He lived in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then he had a long life of 1500 years, and he is still living now. That person will be upset whenever he will remember the days he spent with Prophet ﷺ. He will remember that actually those days were very spiritual, very blessed, and he can't actually now have those blessings as such. And he will be a sad person, like the Sahaba did not want to really live after Rasulullah ﷺ. When they heard in Battle of Uhud that Prophet ﷺ is martyred in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, many of them threw their swords away. They said that how we are actually, who will we fight for now actually? And many of them really did actually just enter where they were most kuffar, and where it was almost probable to actually be martyred and killed, and they actually were the very much kuffar. There are 15, 20 kuffar, and they just actually went in them by fighting in the way of Allah. They gave their life because they didn't want to live after Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So it was Sahaba Rizwanullah alayhim ajmain's desire. To Hazrat Sayyida Fatima al-Zahra, he was very sad because of the separation of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with her. So she hardly lived 6 months. 6 months Hazrat Fatima al-Zahra radhiyallahu ta'ala anha actually left this world as well. So Sahaba Rizwanul Ali Majmain, they had, so imagine a person living from that time up to now, how sad this person will be to remember those times. And those mountains of Bakka, those mountains around Medina, those mountains on the Tariqul Hijra, the road of Hijra, they today are sad as well, because they are trying to find, to see, they are searching to see Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but they can't see Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. But yes, today they are happy even to see anyone following the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If anyone is dressed, if anyone has the manners, if anyone has the character of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that person goes near these mountains become happy, because this reminds them of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they can see the reflection or a glimpse of the life of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sahaba were such people that Hazrat Sa'd bin Abi Waqas radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he spent long time with Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He spent a quite long time with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and during his deathbed, and whilst he was in his deathbed, he was ill, and he was remembering Rasulullah. He said, I really missed Prophet very much. Until actually this day, there have been no day I have not remembered him, and there have been no night I have not remembered him. But he, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, the Sa'd bin Abi Waqas radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, said that if anyone was to ask me how Rasulullah looked, I would not be able to explain to him. If anyone asked me how Rasulullah looked, I would not be able to explain, because of the awe, because of the honor of Prophet ﷺ which I had in my heart, I hadn't the courage, or I hadn't got even one opportunity that with these eyes I picked up my eyes and actually looked at Rasulullah's face very clearly. So if anyone would say to me, I am to describe the features very clearly, I won't be able to do them. So this is also true spiritually. Some people, spiritually, they have the blessed opportunity to see Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, but they don't. They don't have the courage. They don't feel the that they have the piety, righteousness to see Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Rasulullah would be standing in front of them, but they would not actually look at him. They wouldn't have courage. And this is also was prevalent in many of the companions, that they didn't look at Prophet ﷺ very clearly. If people would ask them to describe Rasulullah ﷺ, they will give a vague description, not actually a detailed one. Detailed description was only given by very few Sahaba, especially the Ahlul Bayt, the people of the family of Prophet ﷺ, like Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. His description of Rasulullah ﷺ is very graphic and is very detailed. And also Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq and Sayyidina Umar and radiallahu ta'ala anhuma and the Sahaba Rizwanullah alayhim ajma'in, they said that none of us could directly eye to eye see Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam except Hazrat Abu Bakr and Hazrat Umar. They would look at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam freely, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam would look at them freely, and they will smile at each other and looking, while all there were hundreds and hundreds sahaba, but they could not have a look. Now we say why they should have, we wish we could see, but when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is in front of you, the robe, the love you have, and his light, his fragrance, and his nurani mahaul, whatever is around him, the angels which surround him, there is such an awe that a person, if he has love, he can be so much overwhelmed that he will not be able to look. So Hazrat Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas radiyallahu ta'ala anhu was weeping on his deathbed. He said that I am going from this world, but I have not been able to see Rasulullah sallam very clearly. And now I'm leaving, and I hope in Akhirah, inshallah, that I will have a blessed company of him. He said, I saw him from further away, I've seen him vaguely, but very clearly I would not be able to describe. So he said, I could only see the light. As soon as they actually turned their eyes toward Rasulullah sallam, they could see the light of Prophet ﷺ, and sometimes they could not see the face very clearly. So, aapko ye main keh raha tha ki these mountains of Makkatul Mukarrama and Medina Sharif, that they are sad. And they are sad for a reason. They are sad with the separation of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They are sad that after becoming the Sahabi mountains, you see, there are Sahaba amongst the human beings, and there are Sahaba amongst the mountain. The mountains which have not seen Rasulullah ﷺ, they are other mountains. The one who have seen Rasulullah ﷺ, they have a special status. They are amongst those mountains. They mention their blessing that one of the mountains started to move so, to be so, it was so happy that Prophet ﷺ is standing upon it. And there was Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq. And there was Sayyidina Umar, and there was Sayyidina Ali radiyallahu ta'ala anhu standing and upon it, and Rasulullah sallam, the mountain became so much in ecstasy, in enjoyment, in pleasure, that Rasulullah sallam is standing upon me, that it began to move with wajad. Jis tarah hamare logon ko baad dafa hal pad jata hai na, that when our people sometimes become overwhelmed, then they start to move here and there. And strong people like Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq or the great awliya, Junaid Baghdadi, and who are very high ranking, they are not affected very much. They are not overwhelmed by states. In them there is more ocean, there is a more storm than everyone. The love of Prophet ﷺ, what they are witnessing, what they are seeing, is more than anyone can, for example, others see. But outwardly, they have such control that it seems they can sit as normal people actually are sitting. It won't even bother them as such. But the mountains, is the creation is very strong, but it could not hold itself. It was started moving. And Rasulullah said to the mountain, "Oh mountain, I know you are happy and moving, but stop moving, because a Nabi is standing on you, a Siddiq is standing on you, and there are two Shaheed standing on you." And the mountain was actually doing this for this reason of being happy. So this was the relationship of the mountain. So aapko main ye arz kar raha tha ki that a person who is traveling towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if he takes wrong things, falls for wrong things, and also I was mentioning about these mountains, especially around Makkatul Mukarrama, around Madinatul Munawwara, that there's no much greenery around it. And in other, let's say in England, you find greenery all the time around you. Now people sometimes think that the weather is very hot and there's always mountainous desert, mountains around it. And in other countries, which are the countries of Kufar, they are being actually overwhelmed by greenery, luxury, rain every day. The Mashayikh and Awliya has said this is for the reason that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants that those people who come here in Makkah and Medina, they come truly for the love of Allah and His Messenger, not to see greenery and scenery there. So it is to help for you to get, be a mukhlis, be sincere, ikhlas, that you are not going there for sightseeing, you go for, today there are some buildings, for example, before only Kaaba in between and mountains, dry mountain. Medina Sharif also covered by mountain, mountain surrounded by mountain, rain happens very rarely there. So that people don't go for worldly luxury and worldly reasons there. So they have the right motive to go there, which is the love of Allah and the love of Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Although Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah, He could grow everything, the rivers, let aside the rivers of dunya, the rivers of Jannah could come and be with Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. As Sayyidina Abdul Aziz Ad-Dabbagh Rahmahullah, he said that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had not stopped Jannah from coming to the world, a part of it will come to the world to be with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, like a baby camel wants to be with its mother. Like a baby wants to be with its mother, that's how much Jannah even more loves Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It wanted to come in dunya with Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, but it is by the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that it is stopped there, so that it doesn't come in dunya. And really, the Jannah is sad as well. It is looking empty. It has mountains of gold and beauty, the mountains of light, the palaces, the very beautiful hoors. It has the very beautiful hoors. It has the khadims in the form of angels. It has such gardens that a person will not be able to move his eyes as his glances when he has seen a garden or a Jannah or like that. It has many angels which exist and which live in the in Jannah. But still the Jannah is looking empty. The Jannah spiritually seems sad because it is not able to find who it wants to see, and that is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He, alayhi salatu wasalam, is the life of Jannah. He is like a person, like a bride is brought, and without the bride, whole the marriage, everything is there, but it is emptiness there. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasalam is the life and the spirit of Jannah, because the Jannah was created with the light, with the nur of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So in spite of all the blessings in Jannah, he doesn't have Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the blessed body and blessed presence is not there. It still feels unhappy. It will feel happy when even Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiyallahu ta'ala will go. Imagine. It is said in the books that when people will go in Jannah, they will feel happy. Jab log jannat mein jayenge, bahut khush ho jayenge. It is a place to be happy. But say that when Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq enters Jannah, the Jannah will be happy to see him. Because he is the reflection, he is the closest person to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And you can imagine that how then it will be happy when Prophet ﷺ enters Jannah. The Jannah will not open its doors to anyone. It's though as though it is not pleased, it is upset with everyone that I am not letting anyone enter. Even prophets, even awliya, salihin, the sahaba, they will be in the door of Jannah, in front of the door of Jannah, but the Jannah is not going to open its door. It will say, I am not going giving access to anyone except actually the one who I have been waiting for so long time. Only when Rasulullah ﷺ will appear there and touch the doors of Jannah, and the Jannah will know the one who I was waiting for has come now, and it will actually open wide open its doors. And due to that, Rasulullah ﷺ will take his ummah as well with him in Jannah. So that is the Prophet of Allah, Rasulullah ﷺ, Sayyidina Muhammad Rasulullah ﷺ. That is why some of the awliya and salihin, they say that we like more this dunya be here than even being Jannah until Rasulullah ﷺ is here. They say that we seem a certain closeness to Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam when we are in dunya. Like when you are in Medina tul Manawwara, you feel a sense of closeness. Why? Although you are not seeing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, although there are veils between you, but you think that you are in that city. But now if you think about which earth in where Rasulullah sallam resides, where Rasulullah sallam live, it is that this planet only. So many of the awliya salihin, they said that Jannah looks barren to us without Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. We would prefer to live in this world, the trees of this world, in the gardens of this world, the fruit of this world, the water of this world, and with the women of this world, if Rasulullah salam would have not been in Jannah. We would have preferred this dunya. We would have left our Jannatul Firdaus and Jannatul Naim and other Jannat because Rasulullah ﷺ is not there. That was and that is the love of Awliya Arifin of Rasulullah ﷺ, that they would leave Jannatul Firdaus to be with Prophet ﷺ, even if he was living in dunya only. And then our love is that we can't even leave the haram things for Rasulullah ﷺ. We can't even actually leave the things which hurt him, which oppose his sunnah, which are against his sunnah. So our love is not mentioning worth mentioning even actually compared to the love of awliya and arifin. That they're saying that they will leave Jannatul Firdaus for Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and the hoors of Jannatul Firdaus, and we cannot leave the looking at the women of this dunya, the wealth, haram wealth of this dunya, the haram attainment of houses of this dunya, the haram wearing of clothes of this dunya. Our women who claim to love Rasulullah ﷺ cannot cover their heads with scarf, cannot cover their bodies. They would like to decorate themselves like kuffar. So they really don't love Rasulullah ﷺ. Rasulullah ﷺ love is in them, but more love of dunya is in them. So I don't deny that they don't have any Muslim cannot be a Muslim without the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But sometimes the love of dunya, the love of fashion, the love of lifestyle, the love of other things, they increase than the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So what is that love if another love is more than that? So that is why Prophet ﷺ said, yes, you have the love of other things, but you can't be a believer, a perfect believer, لا يؤمن أحدكم, until you love me more than everyone and everything and every person. So here is not mentioned that, okay, you can become a good believer, just you have to love Rasulullah ﷺ. No, that love is not enough. If you can't leave sins, if you can't leave opposing sunnah, if you can't leave the lifestyle which is against Rasulullah ﷺ, if you don't like the looks of Rasulullah ﷺ, then your love is very, very small and it will hardly give you salvation. Maybe after you, because you have iman, after thousands and thousands of years, you will achieve salvation, but not directly. Because Prophet ﷺ even said that whoever will abandon my sunnah, when we say sunnah, it means the necessary sunnahs, the muqaddas sunnahs, the emphasized sunnah. Whoever will abandon my sunnahs and oppose them, فَقَدْ حُرِّمْ عَلِي شَفَعَتِي, my shafaat will not be for these people. He is not going to do shafa'ah for these people. So, I said to you that if you don't know your destination and objective, ultimate aim, you will fall for wrong things. And the right thing is ultimate aim, pleasure of Allah, pleasure of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, love of Allah, love of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And what are the wrong things to fall for? We mentioned visions, dream, materialistic gains. Materialistic gains mean dunya. Because, for example, a person might start dhikr, he might do tawbah, and he might lose his job after a few days. And he might be relating to it, oh look, I was very bad before, now I've started to be good, and I suffered a financial loss in thy business. I was very good, my relationship was with relatives were very good, but since I've been acting upon sunnah, they have disowned me, they don't respect me, they pass sarcastic remarks on me, they don't actually want to come to my house, etc., etc. So because, why this person is saying this? Because he came for the wrong reason to the deen of Allah. He came for the wrong reason to actually the path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Did you not see Sahaba, their own father and mother threw them out of their houses? And they tortured them when they believed in Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They never said, oh, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, oh, we thought we will be blessed people, we've seen you, we are your Sahaba, and look what's happening to us, people have thrown us out of the houses, our parents have become against us, our brothers are trying to kill us, people are torturing us. They never said this. Because they came for the right reason, which was the pleasure of Allah. They say, if we can gain the pleasure of Allah, and we have to sacrifice everything, they are not bothered. We are mean people. By we, I especially mean myself and people like me, not you and not everyone who is listening. MashaAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows your status. I think good of you only. What mean people, that they come forth to the deen for mean reasons, little reason, petty reason. They come to the spiritual path, they'll say, okay, I will come towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because if I gain, I want a child, and I'll be very pious if I get a child. If I find a job, I will be very pious. Things like this. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that these people are وَإِذَا نَعَمْنَا الْإِنسَانِ عَرَضَ وَنَعَى بِجَانِبِ, that when these people are given these things, materialistic gains, when they're given dunya, when they're given children, when they're given the job of their dreams, when they're given the wife of their dream, they abandon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the first thing they do. And this is my experience of our mashayikh and myself as well, that actually those people who come to me, I have illness, I have a jinn in me. So when the jinn will go away, this person will go away as well. Jab jinn nikal jayega, to ye banda bhi chala jayega jinni ke saath. He is not interested in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because he did not come here for first. So I am not interested in these people. Although they come, I say to them, I pray for you. Yes, there is no harm in praying, that you should pray Salatul Haja. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes your distress. That's all. These people are not to be entertained. They have no value in my heart, actually, these people. They are the people of dunya. They come for dunya. Good and well, they want their distress removed. They want something lawful. They should pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallam told you the phone number of Allah, which is 2-digit, 2 rikat salatul hajat. And dial that phone and actually ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if Allah cannot give you, I can't give you anything. We are our servants, need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time. And these people who come for a job, when they will get job, they won't see you. Firstly, they will be very humble. Hazar sahab, peer sahab, sheikh sahab, meri job nahi, karobar mein bada nuksan ho raha hai. I am thinking, my wife is not listening to me. She is behaves illfully. And when she becomes good, your relationship with Allah becomes bad. So then, even I phoned that person, that brother, you are not seeing you. I am very busy these days. I don't have time to speak. But when they are slippered and beaten by dunya and by shayateen and by the same wealth, then they have very much time. Then they try to take precious time of those people who want to learn the path of Allah. They even want to them. So I am not happy to see them. I don't want actually, because there are so many people who you can go to for the dunya reasons. They've opened their shops. They give advertisement in newspaper. They are sitting on TV channels. They'll charge you £1.50 a minute, and you tell your problem to them. Now that is also foolishness. Why not tell your problem to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has the power to change things, who have power to remove things. And after that, they will tell you, okay, when the program finishes, then contact on our private number. Because then really they are going to milk you. They'll say, okay, now you send at least £500, only then your problem can be removed. And then you are really on the path actually to salvation, and rather actually destruction, I would say. So, Rasulullah ﷺ also did not like people coming to him actually to believe in Islam, having iman, because of any worldly purpose. Rasulullah ﷺ, the first hadith in Bukhari, the very first hadith in Sahih Bukhari, that mentioned this fact, that Prophet ﷺ in those dire times, in those times of poverty, in those times when everything was scarce, and people were tortured, people were being martyred, the Sahaba were being tortured, they were starving, and Rasulullah ﷺ said that everyone, the kulli, for everyone, imrimanawa, is for what he will make intention for. If anyone, Rasulullah ﷺ said, did hijrah for marrying a woman, then he will get the woman, not the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the meaning of the first hadith of Sahih, Jami'u Sahih, Imam Bukhari, rahmahullah. First hadith, Prophet Imam Bukhari put it in the first one, that to correct your intentions. So Prophet ﷺ said, if you even do hijrah with me, but the intention is either to get business from there, or to get a land from there, or to you have marry a woman there, the woman I will get to marry. So Rasulullah ﷺ said, for everyone, it is whatever they have intended. If they have intended Allah's pleasure, they will attain Allah's pleasure. If they intended women, jobs and things, maybe people come for job. Maybe I am suffering more than you. I don't want to complain, tell you or to complain to people. Well, I will tell to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, maybe I don't have finances myself. Like, have you not heard Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala working for 17 days? But he was not going and begging people. So people think I have, for example, treasures of the world. No, maybe I don't have enough to eat myself. Maybe I don't have I have an illness myself I can't remove. So these things are temporal things. If you have actually these things, pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If not, then do sabr and you will get reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you get closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these people who are posing as gods, nauzubillah, and posing as thing, they have everything now and they are trying to give to people, yes, I will bless you children, I'll bless you wealth, I'll bless you health. It seems as though they have the power of God in their hand. While Anbiya alayhi salatu was salat, they taught these people, all people, that whoever have a need with Allah or need regarding people, he should get up, especially at the time of the Hajjat when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is closer, and read 2 rakat, read 4 rakat, as many as you want, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah azza wa jalla will remove. But this world actually is the world of test. So materialistic gains, if you are coming for spirituality, it was better you didn't. It was better you didn't. You would have gone at least towards worldly person and worldly mean, and when you won't find, at least when you come to Allah azza wa jalla and His path to achieve His pleasure, you come only for Him, only to Allah. And Sayyidina Abdul Aziz the Bagh, rahmahullah, he said that if any person comes to a wali for worldly reason, other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pleasure and just for worldly gain, not to for Allah azza wa jal, the love of the Messenger of Allah, and if this wali would have entertained his request, he said he is also helping him to actually go towards destruction. It is his duty to tell him that don't come to Allah and His Messenger for this reason. Come for their pleasure and attain salvation in the hereafter. In the world, you will be tested now and then. Tests are bound to come in your health. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to believers, and this was to about Sahaba Rizwanu alayhim ajma'in, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ, you will definitely, surely will be tested, examined, بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ, from fear, fear of death, fear of poverty, fear of honor, fear of other things, life. خَوْف وَالْجُوْ, from faqr, from poverty. وَالْخَوْف مِّنَ الْجُوْ وَنَقْسٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ, and the loss of financial loss. والثمرات, from the fruits. وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, good news is for the people who do sabr. And what does sabr mean? Sabr means when you are in any musibah, don't do anything against Sharia to remove it. If you've done that, mashallah, you have got at least the basic level of sabr then. Sabr doesn't mean you shouldn't cry. If sabr means not crying, Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salam was weeping so much that he lost his eyesight. He said, إِنَّمَا أَشْكُ بَثِّي وَهُزْنِي إِلَى اللَّهِ وَعَلَّمُ مِنَ اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ, that I only tell my grievances, my problems to Allah. And in front of Him, I will cry and weep. And this is desirable. So sabr doesn't mean don't cry. People, someone's brother dies, someone's wife dies, someone's child dies, other say, he starts to cry, and the other says, please have sabr, please have sabr. Then these people are trying to even actually torture him more. Because if he is going to suppress his natural expression, feeling of weeping and crying, actually, that you are doing loss to that person. So sabr is that not to say, not to weigh like women do, for example. The very high screams, and they are reciting poetry about the deceased and asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, why you have taken me, why or taken my child, why we have to be go through this. So say things like this, and wailing, screaming, these are against sabr, because they are within your power to do or not to do. Weeping, crying, feeling sad, that is natural feeling of human being. It is an expression of love. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam blessed son Sayyidina Ibrahim radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he passed away, Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, his eyes were flowing with tears, and he had his son in his hand, and the Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you also weep? Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, yes, this is the love and rahmah which I have in my heart. And but with the tongues, he touched his blessed tongue and he said, with the tongue we will only say what Allah likes, because that is within our power to say or not to say. We will only say whatever Allah likes, but weeping, this is an expression of love. So women, etc. So there is a balance actually. Some go to the other extreme, they are wailing and all the streets know someone has died. And there, then there are others who are holding their tears back, that if they weep, it will be thought that they don't have sabr, that is wrong as well. So the middle way, you express your sorrow and things. Anyway, other things which the teachings of Rasulullah ﷺ and the Mashayikh and Awliya, which tells us it, they say that don't, the wrong reason why people go towards the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is feelings, good and bad states, feelings. It's like someone is given dhikr or prayers they are doing or recitation. They might come to you, I'm not feeling good. I'm not feeling good to do the dhikr. Or I'm not feeling good to actually do worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So one such person came to a shaykh and he wanted to teach him a lesson. He said, I want to feel good. He said, well, what do you like? What does your nafs like? He said, my nafs like alcohol. He said, well, go and actually get the alcohol of your favorite alcohol, and also get a girlfriend for you, and go on an island to do holidays for 30 days, and you really feel good. You want to feel good? That's what you do. And that person said, no, alcohol is haram. And he said, then you want to feel good. Because that's your objective, then that you should attain. Go and any woman you go like, go and kiss her. If you want to feel good, you will feel very good. But the consequences you will fail, if you face in the hereafter and this world, that they come after. If you like a car, just go sit in and drive. You will be feeling good that you are driving at least very and free. So he said that have some sense, have some intellect actually. Feelings are not our God. Feeling is not our purpose. Good and bad feelings are not our states. Sometimes a person is feeling constricted. He doesn't feel like praying. But that person should say that feeling is not my Lord. Feeling is not my Allah. Feeling is not my God. I will pray because my Lord exists. The good feeling doesn't exist, but my Lord exists, and I am doing it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At that time, the person will have more ikhlas. When you are not feeling like praying, and you still do mujahida, and you be hard upon yourself, and you are still doing the faraiz and necessary things to abstain from the haram, your dhikr and tazkiyah, then even you get more closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our people fall for these things, enjoyment, I'm not feeling enjoyment, I was feeling bad, that's why, I don't feel like doing dhikr. Well, who told you that you should do things for feelings? Feelings are unreliable things. We should not base our decisions on feelings. We should base our decision on facts. Feelings are unreliable. Facts are reliable. Feelings are good and bad modes, people. But facts is that you are a servant. You have a Lord whose name is Allah. And you are accountable to Him. And soon you are going to die as well. And you have to face the result. That is the fact. And feeling is good and bad. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests us. In Sufya's term, in the terms of tazkiyah and ihsan, it is known as al-qabz wal-bast. Let's say some people feel someday, sometime, they feel very much inclined to worship. Their heart opens. They feel really that they want to do more and more worship. That's good as well. Just do the worship. But in that worship, there's less reward than the worship when you feel bad, when you don't feel like doing worship, when you are constricted, but still you, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pleasure, you do that act. That act carries you more closer to Allah than the one you were enjoying and doing. Because the one who you were enjoying, there was a share of nafs in there. There was a part of nafs in there. The nafs was enjoying as well. You were enjoying. But now it is the act which the nafs has no share. So this means that you are only doing it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is a wonderful thing. Like Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was getting tortured. People were hitting him in the scorching sun, the sun's heat. If he was to go after feeling, he would have left first day. He said, oh, Abu Jahl to Ubayya bin Khalf, oh, please don't, I'll just turn back because I came to Islam to have good feelings and enjoyment and luxury and I'm being tortured, I go back. But because they knew they were the student of Rasulullah, they from the very first day when they became Muslim, they knew their objective is Rida of Allah, pleasure of Allah, not the materialistic gains, not visions and dreams, and not feelings, good or bad. Other thing which people fall for, which they shouldn't, is supernatural powers. Supernatural powers. That they want some kind of karamat, or you may say a miracle, or power to read minds of people, or power to control people, or power to walk on the water, or power to travel very quickly. They want supernatural power. They think if they become spiritual, they will be controlling the world. They want to possess a jinn. How foolish is that person who is spending 40 days to control a jinn, and if he had spent 40 days to attain Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pleasure. What a difference between this foolish and this wise person who spent 40 days in ibadah to reach Allah, to have Allah. And this person is trying to control a jinn, and when that jinn get opportunity, he will also beat him up. That you came for the wrong reason. Because if you are controlling a jinn actually by force, when the jinn gets opportunity, he will try to actually harm you as much as he can. So, to gain supernatural powers, our purpose is none, and nor we should fall for that. Nor people who come to the path of Allah, they should be told that this is none. If you want supernatural powers, go and actually learn magical tricks. Go and somewhere get admission. Here is the path of obedience, path of abdiya. This is path of submission, that you should actually submit to Allah. You are trying to be abd, a servant, or you are trying to be a lord, that you want control and you want actually power. What is this kind of abd? What servant is this kind of? The abd is the one who stays in the servitude and humble towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But this is says strange kind of abd. He wants power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in him. Now that is different matter, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses these people who don't want anything supernatural powers, but Allah gives them power with His own will, karamat. They are even surprised when they get karamat, because they are not expecting. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps them somehow. If He doesn't, they're still happy with Allah azza wa jal. So karamats of awliya are many, many. And it's not that they wanted karamats, that it was just actually Allah's way of honoring them. Karamats of walking or knowing what they are thinking, or actually these things appear in them sometimes. But they are not the shart of wilaya or karamat of that if anyone follows them, they reach higher state, their heart become alive. They can go in the presence of Allah, presence of Rasulullah s.a.w. These are actually good things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honors people. Other thing which a person should not work towards is to become a sheikh. To become a sheikh. Because actually, really, we are a servants of the deen. We should serve the deen. To serve the deen, you don't need to be a sheikh. Sheikh means that actually, that you just want people to serve you, and you are not doing anything, and etc. So this is also a form of hubbe jah, meaning the love of fame and name. And so what we should do is serve the deen of Allah, but like you are learning the path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, teach. That's what the duty is then. Title, you don't need any title of sheikh. If you are doing the same job, alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward you. Then if Allah wills, He will give you. So this should not be the purpose of coming as well. The purpose of coming to the path to Allah is your purification. Your purification. Your tazkiyah. Your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then conveying this message to others as much as one can. So the list can go on, but one thing is to remember. The list can go on. For example, I just read the list we've mentioned in the book. Or to see lights and illuminations while meditating or performing the zikr of Allah. To see lights. Some people like to see lights. A light came. As I say, if someone sees the light of zikr, the light of Jannah, the tajalliyat of Allah, the light of Rasulullah sallam, it is a blessed thing. It is good, but it's not the purpose. Someone does, alhamdulillah, they should take encouragement from it and be more steadfast on the deen. If not, they should think that I am a strong person, I don't need support of these things. These are to support weak people, mostly. Lights, illumination, visions, they are to support most of the time the weak people who are not strong in their iman sometimes, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them support. As they say, walking stick is required by a person, two walking sticks for the person who can not walk very well, clutches. He needs some kind of support. A person who can walk without actually clutches, without the two sticks, he should be feeling happy. Alhamdulillah. Or what should he do? He's walking along the road and he sees other person with two sticks. He said, oh, poor me, I don't have those two sticks. Look, what a lucky person, he has a stick, he has two sticks. So that is actually a strange thing to say, because that person has some kind of defect or weakness. That's why he has sticks. So this additional support is needed sometimes for those people who are weak. Or then there are others who are for different purpose, for conveying the message. There are other reasons as well. And also not to come toward this path to having permission to blow or to heal for the sake of curing and healing people, and doing these supernatural acts, and having permission to give ta'weezat and do dam. Kai log isliye aate hain ki koi dam dam sikha de, teach us a way to cure people's headaches. Okay, headaches will become cured, but you won't become cured. Your heart is still ill. Headaches will become cured. These are sometimes can be learned through exercise. Even many non-Muslims, Christian, Jewish people, Hindu people, they also have this healing power. Here in England, there are schools which teach you these things. How to read minds of people, how to actually heal people, develop your healing power. And non-Muslims are doing now and then. There is no actually relationship with of taqwa with that. They don't have even iman. So if you want healing, if you want heal headaches of people, go and take admission in such an academy. So you will develop power of healing, but you won't get any closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But these people, some are tricking. Some have developed these healing powers, learning in these like schools, and then they come and pose to people that we are walis. Look, we touch you and you become cured. And what this message they are sending, that we are awliya Allah. While they are not really, they have just learned art. It's just like previously people didn't know a remote control existed. A remote control. Now the remote control can switch off the lights, on lights, it can switch off TV, it can switch off cars, it can turn on cars and things like this. Technology. Imagine this person going on a village which has not seen any technology, and he says, look, I have got supernatural power. And he said, look, when I say the light off, the light will go off. And he's pressed his button. Off, and the light goes off. On with the remote, and the light goes on. And they really become impressed. Oh, what a wonderful, he really have control over things, control over light. And they start kissing his hands and things, and he then actually says that now I've done my part, now keep serving, keep bringing gifts and hadiyas and shirinis and serving me, and he's not teaching any fun. So that is the example of those people who've learned some power of healing or power of actually mind reading or anything like this, little bit of, and they are cunning and deceiving people. And we just become impressed, totally. And our Mashayikh said, Sayyidina Bayezid Bistami Rahmatullah Alayhi, even if someone is flying in air, someone is reading your mind, someone is actually walking on water, don't become impressed by the person. He cannot be a wali of Allah unless he follows Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sunnah very intently, and he doesn't oppose sunnah. It is a story of Hazrat Bayezid himself, rahmahullah. He went to, someone told him, in such a such city, there is a wali.